The Honest Wargamer, an honest and independent show run by gamers for gamers. We bring you the latest in critical meta discussions, zany list tech, and deep dive discussions about the hobby as a whole. We are supported by our fantastic patrons and Twitch subscribers. If you'd like to support us and join the team, that would be awesome. Don't forget all you hydro homies, stay hydrated. Now get yourself comfy. Rob is now here for today's episode of Stream Streak.
Hello, welcome to Us War Gamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Stream Streak Day 224. I'm joined by the gorgeous, come on, look, pay attention to him, Simon. How are you, sir? How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, great, great. We are an hour early today, you guys may have noticed, but that's because we're not really that early for you. What time is it there?
Currently 9 p.m.
Okay, not too bad. Not too bad. Yep. Not too bad.
Dark outside. We're having proper storms happening today, so we've had hailstones like the size of golf balls.
Oh, fun.
Twice today. Yeah, so in the middle of global warming, you know, wreaking havoc, so it's all fun and games.
Well, we started a bit early today, which is really fun. We've also got rain going on outside, which is...
Yeah, but you live in the UK.
Yeah, so it's like just like a pitter-patter of rain. It's not proper.
Yeah.
It's not proper rain. And and today we're going to be talking about Cities of Sigmar. Simon wants to wax lyrical about his one of his favorite armies. So that's going to be... I'm really looking forward to that. Also, we're celebrating together, Simon. We're celebrating Warhammer Day.
Oh, shit, is that today?
That's today. That's today. A stupendous release by Games Workshop in that they're releasing one... Terminator Chaplin is the release, I think, is my favorite part of Warhammer Day. I don't know.
They don't have many of those, do they?
They don't have many of those. No. So, hello, everyone.
I don't know if you've seen. He looks identical. He looks like... No, I'm sorry. I'm just going to rant for a second.
No, go for it.
I can't bring up
do.
Things on the stream. There's
Please
one
do.
That was brought out. I think it was a limited edition a couple of years ago. Identical. Like, that guy has his flamer on the underslung from the bolter rather than on the side like this guy does. It's basically the identical model. Ugh.
Identical. Just, yes.
I'll send you photos. You'll understand. I'm sure everyone else knows what I'm talking about.
I'm not remotely interested in them releasing any more, like, single individual fucking Space Marines. Just don't care. But whether or not Games Workshop celebrates it properly, I'd like to celebrate it properly and just say big shout out to all the bros around the world and the broettes, my gigolos and my gigolettes, for just, you know, Warhammer Day. Congratulations to all of us. It's like kind of our Christmas, maybe. I'm not really sure how we're meant to celebrate, but it's fun. So with that said, I want to say a big shout out to everyone in the chat who's joined us a little hour early today. Big shout out to OJ, Colonel Cabbage, Gitly. I think you've got a shout out from Musaka Koala. He says, "Yo, Simon, it's Stav the Knees Weak Greek."
Oh, legend.
Okay.
Yeah, so Stav's a local in my scene. He's a good guy.
Okay. All right. He's Greek, but in your local area.
Yeah, we've got heaps of Greeks. Like, heaps of them immigrated over here after World War II and just kind of bred as Greeks do. So, yeah.
I think that's fine to say. Let's go for that. That's fine to say.
I lived with a Greek family for 6 months, and like, it was the most eye-opening experience that I think I've ever seen. So yeah.
Fun time.
It was good.
Was it a fun time? Yeah.
Oh, it was great. Oh, it was a great time. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I've
so,
got the stream up now. I can see your corn thing.
Oh yeah, I'm painting up some corn dudes. That's what I'm doing. As I talk to you guys, this is mainly just because I'm feeling quite fractious today, so I don't want to just be like dancing around the studio. Shout out to Zadie guy in the chat, Bonnie and Manchild, what up? So Cities of Sigmar is what we're here to talk about today. But before we do, just gonna do a check in with you. How are you? You well? You keeping well? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm wonderful. So I'm a doctor that's working in the middle of a pandemic. So that always bodes well for me.
Mm-hmm.
I quit
it's
the public
not real,
service,
so
and...
you should be fine.
Oh no! Coronavirus is fake. Take it from doctor. Yeah.
I'm joking.
Oh my god,
that's a joke.
We've got this guy in Australia called Chris Evans. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a chef.
No.
He doesn't believe in coronavirus. He invented some UV light machine to to beat coronavirus.
I'm into this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it work?
Look, Probably not. don't think he's put it through any rigorous like clinical trials to figure out if it does or not, but just based on science, probably not.
That's very different to our Chris Evans, who's a ginger TV presenter and now radio jock, I think. Our Chris Evans, very different. Although probably he also doesn't believe in coronavirus. Not really certain, but it doesn't. I'm not sure. But apart from, thank you also for all the work you're doing, and anyone who's listening who does anything in the medical profession, or even if you just serve people at a shop, sweeper street, or anything you do that makes the world tick over, you're all angels. So congratulations. Have you been able to get much Warhammering in, or like, because which you're in, like, whereabouts are you located in Australia for the people at home?
So I'm in Queensland. Australia has like seven states. I think it was seven at last count. And basically we locked down our borders in our state hard. So we weren't allowing anyone in. And it's been a very hot topic given that we've got an election today. And that was a big part of it. But essentially, we don't have any coronavirus whatsoever in our state. I think we've got two active cases. And so we can do tournaments without masks. Everyone, actually, I've gotten a few comments, like, because I've been posting pictures of me like running the tournaments that I've been doing recently, and yeah, people are like, oh, you're not wearing masks, like, it's, you know, like, it's a big thing. And here, like, we had, I don't know, what was it, it was probably like 5 or 6 weeks of lockdown, and then that was it.
And it was all sorted, sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's literally been business as normal, like, ever since then,
which is cool. Like, not to make this show about the Rona, but we're like, England is just at Nottingham, where I am locally, like, slowly went through like a stage system of like increasing lockdowns in starting this week. Well, starting earlier in the weeks, and then now we've heard that probably next week we'll be into like full lockdown nationwide. So, you know, like, the stream streak continues. At this point, all I think is it just powers the stream streak, and maybe that's selfish, but that's what we're really all here for at this stage, I think. What, we're on 223, I worked out in March, just to get us to the big 1 year. Not that far away at this stage. Not that far away.
No, you might get there.
Yeah, I'm very excited. right, so, let's talk Warhammer.
Let's talk Warhammer. I've been running tournaments. So okay. Because everyone this is kind of coronavirus like segue. So because everyone's getting demotivated because they weren't allowed to get out and play games, a lot of tournaments were getting cancelled. We had Gabe's tournament, Runex, cancelled recently. And then Stratty as well. I'm not sure if he's an international superstar. He should be. But he is,
he's an angel.
Oh, he's a legend. So he was running a tournament as well, Brizhammer, and both of those got cancelled, which is quite devastating to those of us that, you know, like to play Warhammer. And there wasn't anything being run because venues are being really stingy about who's allowed in. Even though we have no coronavirus in the state, they still aren't allowing big gatherings of people in venues. And so I spoke to our local wargaming store. So shout out to Irresistible Force, who are a big supplier of AOS in Australia. And they have a space for gaming, which could fit up to, under their COVID plan, could fit 16 people. And so I said, well, I'm going to start running one-day tournaments. And I did. So I started up 16 players one day, like one Saturday a month, started getting guys out, getting guys excited, and yeah, tournaments, get it happening. Yeah, if people in your meta are, you know, coming, when you're coming out of coronavirus, which for some people may not be like 12 months, you know, I previously was just a competitive player, and I would only play at tournaments, and I never even considered running one. But I saw that people needed some help and needed some inspiration. And so I decided to bite the bullet and try and organize stuff myself.
Okay. And how's that journey and experience been for you?
Good. So the first two tournaments ran very well. We got first one, we had no drops, so we had the full 16 on the day, played three rounds, was won by James Lynch with his Slaanesh. Yeah, so
was it Lurin Hayes Slaanesh?
Whatever, is that the Chaos Ascendant one?
Oh, no.
No. He was wanting whatever the one is in yeah, no, Curse Ascendant.
Yeah, that is Lurid Haze. That is Lurid Haze.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, yeah. That one.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called. The one that lets you redeploy D3 units, that one.
Yeah.
Whatever that one is. It's really good. And he plays like 3 keepers, 2 chariots, and basically min battle line, and that's his list. I'll come back to that actually, because I'll talk a little bit more about that in a sec. Okay. But he won the first one. Then the second one was actually taken out by again, we had 16 players. I think I had 3 drop on the day, but then 3 guys who lived locally could just rock up and get started. And so we had 16 again. That one was run by More Tribes, interestingly.
Was that Boulderhead More Tribes?
I believe so.
Okay. All right, sweet.
I don't know the sub-allegiances in More Tribes. Sorry, I just know that it was one of the ones with, like, a lot of Stonehorns. So.
Yeah.
And he had a Hunter with Sabertooths as well.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so that was good. Then we were meant to have one in about 3 weeks' time, but I got rostered on the Saturday, so I had to cancel that one, which is sad.
That is sad. Have you not got like a TO buddy who can be helping out with the organizing, like form a little team?
Look, the tournaments are called Simon Southern Scrap, so I feel like unless they're called Simon, they probably can't take over. So, yeah.
that seems fine. That seems fair, yeah.
No, nothing like a bit of healthy narcissism, you know?
Yeah, that's fun. Owen in the chat asked a really good question, and I apologize to everyone about the internet issues. It's just this week for some reason. Like, we were doing super fine, and then just who knows. He said, how without Rona, how big could local events become? And I think that's one of the very fascinating parts about Rona, like, is the decentralization of like events and people organizing their own events and putting their own events on. Like you have, and stepping up to the plate. And I think we might see more and more of this as time goes on. Like, I think, like, and I guess the real question is how big can local events become? But yours have been restricted based on venue capacity, right? And the venue's letting you have X amount.
Yeah, but then interestingly, the store have recently, because no one's hiring, you know, commercial property at the moment, he got a really good deal on another space in the same building that he's in, which can take 32 people under coronavirus restrictions. And so on the 19th and 20th of December, I'm running a 2-day event for the first time.
Wow, with 32 people.
32, if we have enough interest, I can also use the space in the existing store, so we can go up to 48.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, so I'm quite excited about that. That tournament's going to be a little bit different. Because I want to run something fun. I don't just want to run the stock standard tournament. So I've heard in a few podcasts how much of a fan you are of the Anvil of Apotheosis rules.
Love it.
So
big fan.
So I just basically am letting people bring a 15 Destiny Point Anvil of Apotheosis character.
Okay.
And
that seems interesting to me, because what I know of you is you're quite a competitive player. So, like, how do you feel about including that? Like, what's the purpose?
Essentially, I want people to be... So, my tournaments don't have painting restrictions. So, you can bring whatever you want. You docked points if your stuff's unpainted. But your Anvils of Apotheosis character has to be painted. So, it's kind of encouraging hobby. Like, if you only have to get one model done for a tournament, I figure that's, like, an easy task that most people can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm allowing them to take it on top of their 2,000 points. So you've got your standard 2,000 points and then your additional Anvils character. And I banned the ethereal armor unless you're a Nighthorn or Legion of Grief.
Okay.
So people can't just jank that.
You wanted to add some list building? You just thought it would be fun? You thought it would be a nice, fun change?
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm also making objectives. So you score extra victory points if your Anvils of Apotheosis character does something. So if he scores one of your opponent's objectives, you get a point. If he kills your opponent's Anvil of Apotheosis character, you get 2 points. If he just kills another character, you get 1 point. Things like that. I haven't completely solidified exactly what that is yet, but I just want it to be a little bit more fun.
Okay, that's
the aim.
Yeah, especially if you're running them, very regularly, the ability to just like change up the format a little bit just so that people can enjoy themselves is a big positive.
Yeah, well, that's it.
Okay, All right, sweet. So that's cool. That's cool. And I think the question about where you can do things like with your local region and stepping up and being TOs during these times is super valid as well. Tristan, who I know is like in an island in the middle of Canada, is like having a 12-person event here would be and then Gitly asked, why would a competitive player run a narrative event? And I think it's because, like, you can still, if you're a competitive player or competitive players, you can still do narrative well, even being competitive, right?
I would also argue that it's not a narrative event.
Okay,
it's just it's just an event with a little bit of added fun on top of it. It's still a very competitive event. Like, you get your full 2,000 competitive list before you do anything else. So he's just your character's just a little added extra. It's just a bit of flavoring.
Bit of flavoring, exactly. Yeah. So, with these events, have you been able to get many games in yourself?
I have not been getting as many in as I typically would. So what I have been doing actually is making, I don't know if you've seen them, you might have seen them, making some video battle reports lately.
Mm-hmm. I've seen them, yeah.
Yeah, so that's been my kind of, I don't know, that's been another way that I'm trying to get people keen and interested in the game. I actually got a message from a guy the other day, like a comment on the video that said that he didn't like my videos because there weren't any dice rolls. And so I think he kind of missed the point, because what they are is essentially round by round wrap ups. I'm trying to keep them below 30 minutes, basically just a, you know, I went here, I did this, why I did this, this was the outcome. And then, you know, judge for yourself how good it was. Mm. James. No, he didn't like that, but that's fine. He just doesn't understand the brief. The whole point is that you don't sit there and watch a video for 2 hours watching people roll dice. So I actually played James Lynch with a Greywater Fastness army coming back to the Cities of Sigmar thing. Yeah. So I've been trying to figure out a Greywater Fastness list forever, because I fear, and I think I probably said this to you like back in January, I think the last time that we spoke, where I just thought that, you know, the battalion with the rockets, I think it's a trap. I've thought it's a trap for like 10 months. And because basically when you've got that battalion with the rockets in it, the fire twice in the first turn, right?
Yeah.
The output is basically the same as if you take them in Tempestai and give them +1 to wound. Right. So why would you spend money to get a battalion to put that in? And it means that you have to take, you know, a cogsmith who's like the worst guy ever. So instead of taking rocket batteries, I took 3 steam tanks.
Wow.
So I encourage everyone to go and watch that battle report. I'm actually like, I'm really happy with how that turned out. I won't ruin it, but I fucking smashed James. It was actually quite abhorrent.
And where do we find this battle report if we want to watch it?
So it's on Measured Gaming at the moment. Okay. So I'm kind of publishing video. I'm not really publishing videos through them. Just basically sending Joel my you know, recorded video, and he just hosts it for more exposure, because I figured that they're, you know, getting it out through someone like him, there would be more exposure. But I've been reading about algorithms and YouTube and all that crap, and I've actually been getting fairly decent views myself. So the rebrand is coming.
Oh wow, exciting. An exclusive. An exclusive. Yeah. Simon Shots. Is that what it's called?
Oh, close. It is. There is, again, a little taste of narcissism in the name. It's Simon's Order Academy.
Oh, Simon's Order Academy.
Yeah.
What a terror if you accidentally don't play Order one time.
Well, that's the thing.
Unless you plan on starting, like, 4 YouTube channels, like Simon's Destruction Academy at some point.
I did play Gits, my first CanCon. I did play Gits, and I didn't do horribly with them.
Yeah, you did. You could always start that academy, right?
I could. I wouldn't play it again.
Huh?
I don't think I'd play the Gits again at the moment, but, you know, they were playing the spiders was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so should we just do a recap on where Cities of Sigmar have been over the past, like, 4 to 5 months? Or not 4 to 5 months, year almost, since they were released. Sorry, I just completely tried to block out the entire Rona period of time. so when they first came out, obviously, like, there was lots of yammering, specifically from me, about Halahart and a bunch of other stuff. And we did see a Halahart list very early on, very, very early on in those times, take a first place tournament result. Yeah, at an event. And then from that point on, we've seen a bunch of different lists. We haven't actually seen that same Halahart list take out a bunch of tournaments, which was normally involved the bridge and a bunch of handgunners. So we didn't see
that's
that.
Because it's not that good.
Well, I agree. I think you just get caught out by it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. However, like, since then, we've seen all sorts of different lists taken. However, we haven't seen many tournaments won. We see Cities generally is a book that sits like between the 3-2-4-1 mark, and then it's got a lot of chaff in the book. There's just a lot of like guff war scrolls which don't really get applied, and you know, some of the stronger war scrolls, like, just it's just pick which way you want to make them stronger is how I generally view the Cities book. You take some of the strong war scrolls, and then you go, all right, I want to make these strong war scrolls even stronger, so I'm going to put them in Tempest Eye to make them shoot better, or I'm going to put them in Hammer Hall, and I'm going to make them, like, well, Tempest Eye also is good save, so, like, it's pretty good, or Hammer Hall, because I'm specifically trying to proc that fight twice in your opponent's territory sort of a setup. But we haven't seen much exploration. That's not true, though. Like, at CanCon, like, we saw some of the other cities, and we know now, quite excitingly, that in the new Broken Realms, we're getting at least 2 new cities worth of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Simon, what are your thoughts on those?
I'm very excited. I'm very excited. One of them, very obviously, Har-Kuron, or Kuron, depending on how you want to say it, seems to very obviously, by virtue of the name, allow you to take Daughters of Cain with the Cities of Sigmar keyword, and so I am getting quite excited about that.
Oh yeah, how come?
Well, it's what you can do to the list. So Cities has so many internal synergies that once you start bringing in other units, they just get 1,000 times better. So, like, I think I was messaging you the other day, and I was talking about Sisters of Slaughter, and the Gur Battle Mage, for example. Has a +2 to run and charge spell, and Sisters of Slaughter innately have run and charge on them. So you're essentially, from one spell from a battle mage that's always a +1, because you always take a Hurricanum, is getting you +2 to run and charge. So you're increasing your threat range by 4. You can make them run for 6. So your threat range is essentially, what's that? 6 base, +6 run, +4, 12, 16, plus an average, of 7. So 23-inch threat range on Sisters of Slaughter, which seems good. You can also make them, you know, with other battle mages, -1 to hit. The Hurricanum can make them +1 to hit. Just lots of internal synergies. We don't even know what the spells, like what the city abilities do yet. And without that, I just know that Daughters of Cain were already a very strong army. Their main issue is that they have to fight you in combat, and their ranged options are very limited and very average, because it's basically the snakes with bows. Which if you're allowed to take in Cities, I'm just going to point out, like, to do mortal wounds on 5s instead of 6s at range. I know that there are some, like, covens. Are they covens in Daughters of Cain? Things that can make you shoot twice or 3 times.
But they're not very good. They don't hit very well.
They don't, but they're on 3s and 3s. But when you've got a Hurricana behind them, they're on 2s and 3s, and they do a mortal wound on 5s. So, and they've got good movement, they've got good range. So there's just lots of little things like that. The fact that I can take the new War Scroll that I listened to Smorgan talk about for like an hour the other day. Were you on that show, or was that just Smorgan?
Just Smorgan. I introduced it, and then I just like logged out, really, and I let him just like go, which is all you really need in some shows. I feel like there's a lot of Honest Wargamer content. People are like, oh, shut up. So, which is okay. In fact, you've messaged me as much and said,
awkward.
Okay, so you're excited about that particular city. because you think Daughters of Cain getting any buffs. I think about any range support.
Like Daughters with range support? Like that'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the options are just amazing when you can make things have the Cities of Sigmar keyword. Like we've seen like a resurgence from Stormcast units. Not so much yet, but I'll be bringing some stuff like next year to big tournaments with a lot of Stormcast. You're probably seeing that I'm getting a lot of Stormcast painted up recently. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stuff there. Like I'm going to run Tempest Eye with Prosecutors just because I'm really excited about Prosecutors in Tempest Eye. And then I'm going to be running, apparently people really like Dracothian Guard. I don't really get it because they're a bit average, but people, I put a poll up on my Twitter and said, what do you want me to play? And people said Dracothian Guard. So there are four concussors on their way from Poland at the moment so that I can play them in a list. And then like in Tempest Eye, you can take, I mean, it's mostly just Grunstock Gun Haulers, but you can also take Arcanauts as battle line. Like, just having decent units you can slot into roles is just amazing. And to have something, so Sisters, I think, can compete with Phoenix Guard for that dedicated combat unit. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
About not taking Phoenix Guard.
Well, I mean, they're pretty good.
They're just so good.
They are so good. And such a nightmare to put together. So one of the should we just kind of try and like, because there was a lot of info there but we kind of jumped all over, should we just kind of like break down so two new cities coming out, that's really exciting, super fun. Let's look at the cities as is and go through them. So Tempest Eye at the moment seems to be a particularly popular one. Obviously there's a lot of conversation happening about the meta and it being very shooting heavy, whether that be KO Sentinels, a range of Seraphon, obviously, you know, there's a lot of ranged output, and so cities have maybe got the ability to compete, and also you get that amazing plus one save in that first turn in Tempest Eye, which is pretty significant. Like, it's pretty
huge.
Good. Yeah,
huge, it's up there with, especially when you've got Zench in the middle.
Exactly. Yeah. So because their rend is normally quite low, is at best it's one, depending on which one you're taking it in. So how do you rate them so far at the moment? I feel like they feel like they're the strongest city out at the minute. They're able to compete, and also thanks to the GHB, they got like a lot of points reductions. We saw all the dispossessed come down a lot, so Iron Drakes are cheaper, and obviously that's good.
Iron Drakes aren't cheaper.
Oh, they're not cheaper.
No. Iron Longbeards are, and Iron Breakers are cheaper. The melee options.
Yes, sorry.
Drakes are the shooty boys. You don't want them to drop points, or it's going to be, people are going to cry.
So what are you thinking about that city at the moment? How are you feeling about
it? I've got a few lists in Tempest Eye. The big thing about Tempest Eye is that your general, just forget about the other command traits. Your general gives you stuff plus one to wound with shooting wholly within 12 inches of him. And when you're in the best allegiance for shooting, that's huge. So I've got a few lists. I've got lists that most of them now take Grunhawk gun haulers, to give me a bit of mobility, and you can also get them down to twos and twos. I've got Arcanauts as battle line in a few lists. I've got one list that's actually quite interesting, and I've got two Celestar Ballistas in, because when you can bridge them with a Lord Ordinator and a Hurricanum, they're hitting on threes with the rapid fire and wounding on twos with however many hits you get with them.
And their profile the rapid fire is 18 inches, but it's four shots. But any time
four
you
shots.
Hit, yeah, it explodes into D6 shots. So it's potentially 46 wounding rolls, basically.
Yeah, and I've had turns when they do, like, you know, 14, 15 plus wounds, because you just get that explodey roll. And because you've got a bridge, you can put them basically wherever you want them, and you can maximize your buffs around them. It's huge, yeah. Yeah, I'm a big fan. I've got a lot of lists in Tempest Eye, and there's so much you can do. You can bring in like an Ironclad and Grunstock Thunder is in one of my lists. Another one on my list has a max unit of 12 Vanguard Raptors. It's just so much you can do. It's just such a versatile city.
Yeah. So one of the questions I ask is how much does that really rely on that command trait and artifact? like, and do you want to remind everyone of like exactly how that works?
Because yeah, like, so the the artifacts aren't really that big a deal in Tempestide. They're a bit of a flavoring. Essentially, you can get a Seerstone Amulet, which is like a 4+. You get an extra command point a turn, or you can get a Patrician's Helm, which is immune to battle shock within 12. That's typically the one I take because immune to battle shock's amazing. But the command ability, which is Hawk-Eyed, is friendly units or Cities of Sigma units wholly within 12 get +1 to wound on range attacks, which yeah, it's just massive.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
And there's nothing like it in the game.
No, nothing like it at all. And like, and especially with the amount of concentrated fire you can put around that ability, you can really stack it. And then you end up with that all those buffs stacked in the right place. And it does really define. I feel like it more than anything, that command trait defines the city. Whereas if you took that 100%. Out, I think you'd be maybe trying to look at armies that sat in kind of like your half, getting +1 save turn one. Some sort of like super uber tanky build that like pushes out later on or something. I'm not sure. But
if
then
I'm
you can't ignore
honest,
it.
I don't know what you would do. I don't know what you would do if you got rid of that command trait. It does, as you said, define the city, which I think is a good thing because it differentiates it from the other cities.
Yes, it really does. It really, really does. It really does. And it also, the whole army is very fast as well. Like, very fast. Those Tempestide guys. Big shout out to Henry Steele in the chat and also Chris. Big love to you. Thanks, everyone, for joining us live, by the way. Apologies about the internet. Okay, so what about Hammerhall? Now, Hammerhall has had some tournament play, but you haven't seen it really take any tournaments out at all. Yet, it always kind of, like, it always piques my interest and has always got, like, a little cheeky eye on the prize, I think. It almost did. I agree. Do you want to take us through
playing a pre-FAQ army.
Do you want to take us through what Hammerhall does?
I would love to. So the best things about Hammerhall and why I took it to CanCon is essentially that in your half of the battlefield, and that's actually the relevance of that has changed with General's Handbook 2020, but mostly you're immune to battle shock in your own half, and if you're in your opponent's half, you can spend a command point if you're wholly within 12 of a hero and fight twice. So that's the big thing about Hammerhall. They also have some command traits and some artifacts that buff melee, so it's a very melee heavy army. So the best artifact basically is +1 to hit, wholly within 12 to melee weapons, and they have a command trait that is reroll ones to wound if you're wholly within 12 in melee. So both of those combined together, +1 to hit and reroll ones to wound in melee, make it essentially skew towards a melee build. Which is what you saw me take to CanCon. If people haven't watched that video, watch it.
Yes.
I refuse to watch it, but you guys should go watch it.
But yeah, so yeah, that generally tends to skew the army that way, right? Like, especially, yeah. Like, and there are more options to put in there than maybe jump out at you straight away. But unfortunately, the city's book is, like I said, in my opinion, a lot of, you know, you're not taking Eternal Guard, you know, in my opinion. You're not like, mm-hmm. But like they're there and they're close, but you're not maybe, right? Whereas, you're not taking Executioners or Blackguard or
you're definitely not taking those guys, no.
Yeah. And effectively what you're doing is you're taking the good units that really stand out, your Iron Drakes, your Phoenix Guard, your Frostheart Phoenixes, your Hurricanums, and you're trying to bosh them together using those allegiance abilities to get the best bang for your buck. So one of the ones that has been a bit unique, Living City. Living City allows you to take Sylvaneth, but it also allows you to shoot, use a command ability that after you've shot, make a normal move. So we've seen people use things like concussors, the Drakoths with the guns. I can't remember which ones they are.
Yeah, with the multi-fire crossbows, those guys.
Yes. So we've seen those taken in some cities lists, even Gyrocopters, even Spirit of Durthu, because you can make him pretty tanky. He's got a shooting attack, and then drop in from the sides. You can kind of do an ambush. Drop in from the sides, use those, and then kind of attack the front. Have you got, what are your thoughts on Living Cities at the moment? How do you feel?
Well, so the last tournament in Australia before lockdown happened was Heat 1 at GW at essentially up the 45 minutes up the road from me, and I took a Living City list, which was I thought was just a meme list, but I then again played in the final. I lost the final because it was a meme list and I came up against a 5,000 eel list. But it had, and I'm going to say had legs, because you could, when we're allowed to take Forbidden Power, was it Forbidden Power that gave you the realm artifacts, like the lists?
It was, was it Forbidden Power? Yeah.
Whatever it was. Essentially, you could take on Durtha, Malign Sorcery, that's it. You could take Gear Strike or Gaia Strike, whatever the sword is called, which was plus one to hit and wound. Mm-hmm. And that would make a Spirit of Durtha plus one hit, plus one to wound. So it'd be on twos and twos with three attacks. And I took a list where I took a Tree Lord Ancient so he could create a Wildwood. And then we ended up playing on Realm of Battle boards for the whole day.
So you can put them down.
For 2 days. No, I could put them down. They just slid everywhere. It was the most painful thing ever. I hate Realm of Battle boards.
Everyone hates Realm of Battle boards. The Games Workshop hates them. Warhammer World now doesn't even have Realm of Battle boards. They've got their own custom
amazing
printed mats. So yeah, like their day is numbered. Their day is numbered. Yes. Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah. So I took Gyrocopters in that list. I took a Tree Lord Ancient Durthu, a Branch Wraith to summon Dryads into that Wildwood that I put down. And I think I had like 30 Phoenix Guard and some other shit. I actually did really well. I went 4-1 with that list. So I was quite happy with how it went and I only lost in the final. But it was definitely a meme list and it's definitely nowhere near as good now that you can't give stuff to Durthu as the general. And I just sold my Durthu the other day. It's quite sad. But because I am trying to teach people about cities, my concussors, which I've bought, are definitely going in that list. And I think there are things that you can take to make living cities work, like gyrocopters coming on from the side with their, I think they're brimstone guns or clatter guns. It's one of those two.
Steam guns.
Not the steam gun, the other one.
Okay.
Because it has like a 16-inch range, and so you can come on, shoot, and then the way that it works, if you make them move, they have a 16-inch move. So you basically have to, if you've got something within 13 inches, you can move, drop bombs on it, and finish outside of three. And so you can, dropping bombs is a legitimate strategy.
That is really fun. Yeah. So that's with the gyro bombers, not the gyrocopters.
It's the gyrocopters because the bombers only have a 12-inch move, but the copters have a 16-inch move. So they're more likely to make it happen.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And again, it does feel like that city relies a lot, like the mechanics for what people want to build for that army seem to rely a lot around that one command ability. Like there seems to be, for most of the cities, there's this kind of like, you have this one strength that you really lean into. But not that that's a negative, because I think it makes them all very different and play very different, which I think is quite exciting. But it means you're just generally trying to get the most out of that like delicious extra bit. You're not trying to like reinvent the wheel with that whole army, because really you've just got the same pieces. You know, I can take two blocks of Phoenix Guard and a Frostheart Phoenix and stick them into any of them, and it's all better because they're in there. Trying to do these things that other armies can't do, that seems to be kind of like a key focus, right?
Yeah, I've got lists that I want to run that are, you know, a little bit off the cuff. Like, I don't know if you've seen recently, but I think, is it Jack Armstrong has been running a Living Cities list with, like, multiple Luminarchs that come on from the side and just putting, like, three gyrocopters on the board at the start of the game, something like that. Mm-hmm. I typically don't invest in more than one of the same unit, so I don't have three Luminarchs to run, but that's, you know, that's a consideration for me.
Yeah, so it's a beam of D3 mortal wounds three times.
Yeah, 30 inches across. So you bring it on from the side, you bring two or three on from the side and just like draw lines through units and characters and just take things off. Mm-hmm. So I think there's merit in that. But the best way I think to build Living City is to take Phoenixes and give them the Realm artifact. I think it's not the Jade Diadem anymore. It's a something Diadem. Okay. And essentially it heals another one. Because the Allegiance ability for Living Cities with people, which people forget, is heal one every hero phase. And so when you take the Jade Diadem or whatever its current version is called, you heal another one. So you're basically healing two every hero phase on a Frostheart Phoenix. So which with its four up after save is essentially you're healing four wounds every hero phase. So I think that's a legit strategy. And with the Iron Oak Artisan, and he goes to a three up save, he gets plus one if a wizard casts a spell within 12 inches of him, so he goes to a two up. Like it's legit. So that's what I'm going to be running when I bring my when I do my battle report, my living city. But I'm just waiting for a few things to come from my painter who's overseas. So yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. Well, that's fun. And then, so what about the other cities? So the other cities, I will admit, I slowly start to phase out on the other cities. I feel like Ironwold Arsenal,
No, we need to talk about Greywater.
No, yes. Go on, after you. So talk to me about Greywater Fastness. Tell me how does Greywater Fastness work?
So Greywater Fastness really doesn't do a whole lot. What it does do, there's two things that I look at when I'm building a list. So the first one in cities. So the first one is that you look at the allegiance industry, allegiance abilities. First one is Home of the Great Iron World Guilds. So you increase the range characteristic of missile weapons by friendly Greywater Fastest Iron World Arsenal units by 3 inches. And you can include a different, an additional artillery. Nobody cares about the artillery, and ignore the battalion as a trap. So in my list, I took three steam tanks, and I urge anyone that wants to run Greywater Fastness to go and look at that battle report, because I think that is close to
that one guy. That one guy is running. I'm not gonna lie to you, he's running all the way to that battle report. That one guy.
I am that one guy. Look, I'm just gonna do some filler for 2 seconds. I'm gonna find something to show you because
I'm just gonna apologize to everyone watching live about how shit the net is. I don't know what's like. We were fine last week, and then this week, all of a sudden, just every day, and there must be something to do with the settings. I don't know what's going on.
Why am I getting visual aids? The internet isn't even working.
Yeah, I apologize to everyone who's watching live. Podcast Brozo, you're going to be having a great time, so it should be good.
I'm a podcast bro, so.
But I'm going to fix it.
Hello to myself.
Yeah, I'm going to fix it today. So I'll solve whatever the fuck the problem is. And I honestly don't know what the problem is. Like, so I apologize that everyone's just dealing with some shitty buffering. So just, anyway, listen to the podcast maybe today.
It's all right. I think my visual aids are failing anyway, because I'm pretty sure the dice that I want to show you are downstairs. Anyway, I've got dice for every single city.
Okay.
Is the point that I want to make. And I've got Greywater dice, and they were the first ones that I got. So, for example, these are my Phoenician ones. Can you actually
nice.
See them?
Yeah, yeah, I can see them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that one's got the Phoenician symbol. So I engaged – I'm a very international man. I engaged a lady in the Ukraine to do up my digital symbols for me. So
nice.
That one's Tempest Eye. Yeah, you're going to be sitting here for a while. I've got a lot of dice. This one's Living City. So we just spoke about Living City. So it's the Living City tree.
Yeah.
And then my most recent one, which I'm proud of, is my, I don't know if you can see that, Bright Spear.
Oh, cool.
So I was hoping that with the release of the RPG, they would make Bright Spear rules, but they seem to have avoided that so far. So
and that's from,
I don't know,
that's from the AOS RPG that they brought out.
Soulbound, yep.
Yeah.
That's my Hello Heart one. I'm basically just showing – it's show and tell. I love show and tell. This is – oh, you've already seen these ones. These are the ones that I used at CanCon. So those are the Hammer Hall ones. There is a point to all of this, by the way. We'll get there eventually. And finally – is my Anvil Guard. So Anvil Guard we need to talk about as well. I don't like Anvil Guard typically, but I've made a list that I'm absolutely in love with, so we need to talk about that as well.
I want to hear it.
Greywater Fastness. So essentially your Ironworld Arsenal units, which is not many. It's basically your rockets, your cogsmith, your steam tank, and something else. Can't remember. It's irrelevant. Basically gets plus 3 inches to its gun range. Now, it matters on the steam tank because the steam tank's cannon is only 30 inch range and degrades when you take damage. So it starts off at 30 inches. So with Iron World, it goes to 33. When it's got a 2d6 inch movement, like that's significant. So you basically got a 40 inch threat range on your steam tanks, guns in Greywater Fastness, but it also increases the range of its steam gun, which is an 8 inch range normally. And it's forced to hit 2s to wound, right? No rend, 1 damage. But when you bump that up to 11, you're getting basically another, like, what, 40% range on your Steam Gun? And it also, for whatever reason, applies to your long rifle, which goes up to 33 inches, and your repeater handgun, which goes to 19 inches if you've got a character on it. So essentially what I thought to myself is, how can I buff all these steam tanks? Because the list typically has no melee output whatsoever. But if you – essentially one of the artifacts from the city is plus one armor save and plus one move. So you put that on a steam tank commander. He's a two-up armor save, and he moves 2d6 plus three basically every turn. And you can get all of the steam tanks' cannons. Like, they're pretty average normally, like fours and twos, Ren 2, D6 damage, just the one shot. And you can't increase that output in any way, except if you take a Hurricanum and a Lord Ordinator who basically runs to keep up with your tanks and spend a command point. You can basically make them 2+ to hit against even heroes with Lookout, Sir. And it's just the combo essentially is just the bubble of three steam tanks. One of them is a commander, a Hurricana behind them, and a Lord Ordinator running up behind them as well. And basically just putting out cannon shots. When anything gets close, they've got to get through 12 wounds of two up armor save to begin with. But then they also take in return, what is it? How many shots is it? I just had it up. Steam gun. So 66. So what's that, 21 steam gun shots?
Yeah.
At twos to hit, twos to wound, and you're re-rolling once to hit as well, because you've got the command ability in the army, which is re-roll once to hit. No rend one damage, but you're also taking three cannons, which are twos, re-roll once to hit, twos to wound, rend two, d6 damage. And then if they charge, you're on a two-up, you're taking d3 mortal wounds, and then they can also grind you, and so your buffs also apply to your melee attacks. It's just, yeah.
And how many points are they per one?
So it's 180. So they came down in the recent GHB. Wow. So it's 180 for a steam tank with just the base guy with a three-up save. And the commander is an extra 50 points. But he brings utility, which I think is worth the extra 50. So he's 230.
That's pretty incredible. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot for not a lot. What would you pair them all up with?
Oh, they've got, I think I've got a block of Iron Drakes over the other side, because one of the other Greywater Fastness, the Greywater Fastness command ability is that you can give plus one to hit to Greywater Fastness, Iron Drakes, or Handgunners. And so you can make them, again, twos, reroll ones to hit, and then twos to wound, threes to wound with reroll ones from Longbeards. So, yeah, I'm actually quite proud of that list, and I've got three steam, I've already got one steam tank, and I've got two more getting painted up, so I'm quite excited about playing that list competitively and seeing what it does.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of shots, which is good. Like, and again, adding into the shooting matter, are you not worried about just being generally outranged? There's a lot of things out there like Sentinel Skinks, there's a lot of stuff out there. Like, it's okay versus Chain Shows because of the rend isn't like that applicable, but you know, they still punch through some. You're worried about like that. I mean, there's the Iron Drakes as well. I guess it's cheap enough. Like, what's that in total? That brick is about 500 points of stuff. A little bit more. Oh, like,
no. The brick is fairly expensive.
Oh, is it?
So it's like 360 plus 230 plus 140 for the Ordinator plus 220 for the the Hurricanum's on its own. So I think, so it's 220. And then, so 950. So it's half your army in that blob.
Okay, significant then.
It's very, very significant. But it's fun. Steam tanks are fun because I used to play in 7th edition when they were absolutely broken as fuck. And people used to call me Stanky because I ran two of them at a tournament and just like ran over people and it was wonderful.
So you're trying to relive those days.
That's right, relive the glory days.
in Lady B miniatures. Hey everyone for joining us live, thank you very much. By the way, Grinaldi asks, why not use rune lords? They can buff a war machine with plus one to hit.
So that's interesting. I do use that because I've got gyrocopters in the list as well. So it says a war machine unit, and for whatever reason gyrocopters aren't dispossessed, but they are an Iron World Arsenal. They are a Greywater Fastness Iron World Arsenal unit. And so the Rune Lord's got another rune, which he rolls on a 2+ and gives plus one to hit to the Gyrocopter. So they're hitting on twos themselves with their Brimstone guns or with their steam guns. So yeah, so I do have a Rune Lord. Thank you, Grinaldi, because I also have a Rune Lord to make my Iron Drake's battle line in that list. So yeah.
Okay. All right. Sweet.
It seems it seems like that one guy is Grinaldi, so he should go and watch the battle report.
That one guy.
He's very invested.
It's got a dwarf in. He's already there. I promise you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. okay. And then the last city that you wanted to talk about was.
Anvil Guard.
Talk to me about Anvil Guard. So this is the pirate city, right? What is their allegiance ability? Because honestly, I know maybe you get D3 command points or something. I zoned out like on that one.
Yeah, look, this is the thing. It's a bit like that. So essentially, you get this thing where you get D3 extra command points at the start of the game, but you can also have a command trait which gives you one additional artifact power during the game. So it's not bad. Their artifacts of power are actually pretty good.
Okay.
They also have an ability where you give a dragon or a Charybdis or a War Hydra. Don't take Charybdises or War Hydras. So yep. You're giving a dragon something. One of them is there's basically one that you take, and that's Acidic Blood. And so basically, if you take a wound in melee on a 4+, you deal a mortal wound to that unit.
Okay. And there's a lot of wounds on the dragons, right?
Yeah, dragons have 14 wounds, so it's decent. So the list that I've got has 30 Drake. The other thing. The reason why you take Anvil Guard is because it's got an allegiance spell called Vitriolic Spray. So it's only got a 6-inch range, and it's a cast value of 8. So you're definitely nowhere near guaranteed getting off every turn. But it's the one that makes the target's armor save a dash. So nothing.
Right. Okay. So you just take someone's whole arms. Are you not worried about getting spells off? I was wondering if one of the reasons we see Halahart less nowadays is because of obviously all the magic dominance that you see generally around the game. Be it Nagash, although you don't tend to see him very much, but obviously there's Teclis, Croak. There's a lot of like anti-magic that's very, very strong, or people are bringing strong anti-magic. So I was wondering, are you relying on that spell, or are you just hoping that spell works? Different.
No, I am kind of relying on that spell. So I've got three mages in the list. Two of them are sorceresses, so they can stab a Darkling guy to get +2. And then I've got a Hurricanum who's always got a +1. So it's not horrible, but if I was playing against Lumineth, for example, with Teclis, you could just automatically dispel.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Which is but then ultimately, like, they don't generally tend to run one big block where you want to take the save off that kind of Hearthguard Berserker style unit anyway, although they'll ignore it on a 4+. But, that's still one of the ways to try and deal with those, right?
Yeah, 100%. And when you come up against an army that doesn't have any dispel or no, like, proper dispelling, like, let's say you come up against Caradhron and they've got an Ironclad in front of you with a 3-up save, if you get that Vitriolic Spray off, the game's basically, like, pretty much gone, right? Game's
it's
over.
Good. Yeah, super. Yeah, you're not rolling saves. It's just pretty wild.
Because
in
that list, I take 30 Dark Shards. So,
Dark Shards are Dark Shards. Go on, talk to me about them.
No, but you can essentially Dark Shards, you can stab them with the sorceresses to get your bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
And old, Bob and Steve don't mind getting stabbed when you've also got an Emerald Life Swarm in the list to bring them back. So you stab them, and then you can cast that and, bring back D6 guys because you're playing in cities and you're just cheating the game basically with endless spells. But what they do is that they're on a 2-up to hit and a 4-up to wound with 60 shots, but they can move and do it. So they have a 22-inch range just moving. But there's also a command ability on the sorceresses that no one uses, which is run and shoot. So you've essentially, with a run, because you've got +1 to run, and you've also can turn them into a 6 to run, you've got a 29-inch threat range on that. 2s to hit, 4s to wound, with 60 shots.
That's pretty good.
So on average against anything, you're putting 25 wounds on it, with their armor save to come. Or, if they don't have an armor save, you're putting 25 wounds on them.
Yes, if they don't have an armor save, yeah. And can you use that command ability more than once? Like, could you, do double units of Dark Shards and run them up, for instance?
Well, I've got two sorceresses, so probably.
I'm just wondering if you could do it for the same sorceress.
I think it's once per phase. I think they've worded things properly in this book.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, I know. It sucks when they do that, right?
You always have to ask, right? Like, have they done their job properly so I can't break the rules?
Half the time it's a no, but yep. Sorceresses. I don't know where she is in the book, so it's fine. We'll move on, probably. But yeah, essentially you're doing 25 wounds to something. So the other thing I've got on that list is a Dreadlord on Black Dragon. So he's just 14 wounds that, as I said before, he bleeds on people and makes them sad. He also has a 3-up armor save and 14 wounds. And he actually does not good damage, but, you know, half decent damage in the melee phase, combat phase.
Which is decent. So there's a lot of variety in all these lists. Like, there's a lot of, like, different units trying to, like, utilize some of those abilities. Would you say there's any units in the book that really need some love in the future, looking at winter points and things like that? Is there anything you'd like to see get better points?
Sisters of the Watch, I really want to see. I think that Sisters of the Watch and Iron Drake should swap points values.
Okay.
I just think I want to use them. I've got 30 Glade Guard painted up to try and use them, but it's just at the moment, Iron Drakes are just 1,000 times better, so there's no real reason to use them. What else needs love? Drakespawn Knights definitely need love, but I don't think you can give them any amount of love that'll make them worth taking, so that's quite sad.
Wild Riders, I feel like they need some love. I don't think there's anything you can do points-wise to make them you want them to go. I think they need some...
Make them 10 points, I'll take them.
Yeah. You make 10 points for 5. There's a whole bunch of units like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, look, I think one of the best things about this book is that there are so many units that you can use together. There are so many, like, subtle synergies, I think, that... It's just you basically, and this is the thing, when you get an FAQ or a points update, they update all armies at once. So, you know, your Stormcast get updated, your cities are updated. Your Caradhron Overlords get updated, your cities get updated, which we saw recently with the halfway update that we got, points update. A lot of the Caradhron units are a lot more viable in cities now because of that. And it's going to be the same. If we get a Daughters of Cain Cities of Sigmar keyword, like, every time the Daughters of Cain get updated, I can now take them in cities, and it's going to change my lists. Like, I can't understate. I mean, it's not going to happen to Sylvaneth. Just Sylvaneth problems. But all the other ones, when they get updated and they get points drops, it means that my lists change. And so I've got 4 factions that – I don't know. Have you ever delved into share trading?
No.
I'm going to make an analogy now.
Okay, so go for it.
Having a city's armies is diversification, okay? So even if in your city's list, like, let's say that the Caradhron Overlords go back up, but the Stormcast come back down, you're basically hedging your bets because you now can take more Stormcast things in your list, even though you can take less Caradhron Overlords. And then if you add in the Daughters of Cain into that, it's even better. Because then you've got more things that when they get updated, you can take them. And they're talking about, like, you know, what was the Seraphon city? There was talks about a Seraphon Cities of Sigmar. Like,
maybe that'll be the other city that is coming out. Army.
Oh,
we're not sure.
If it is, no, I don't think it will be. But if it is, that'd be amazing. Because then, then I can take Croak. But besides Croak, there are other things that I can take. Mm. Yeah, and it's just that thing that whenever anything gets changed, you can... your army gets buffed. Every time one of 4 or 5 armies gets buffed, yours also gets buffed. So, yeah.
Agreed.
Cities is a great book.
Yeah, really good book. Really good book. And I appreciate you coming on talking about it today. I appreciate that loads. Also, big shout out to Lord Wynn, who just won with Sinesh today. That was good. And thanks for everyone in the chat who's joined us. Are there any shout outs you'd like to make before we head out?
No, shout out to Smorgan, who has been struggling with lockdowns in the beautiful city of Melbourne down south, which they finally started to come out of now. So good job to everyone in Victoria. Don't go around kissing your nonnas and your yayas. Steer clear of it for the next few months and you guys will be right as rain. I think that's it. I love everyone.
Good. We love you too. It's super nice. thank you to everyone who's joined us live. Apologies about the...
thanks, guys.
The net. Yeah, and big love to everyone who has listened to the podcast and supports on Patreon. It's been wonderful having you on the show. Simon, I can't wait to hear an update. Like, maybe Winter's Points update. We'll see like how that's changed up cities for you. See what you're thinking then. Or maybe when we see
the Marathi book.
Yeah. Whenever that happens, it'll be a fun deep dive. So looking forward to that as well. Thanks for being on the show. Thanks everyone for joining us, and we'll see you guys soon.